Hi, this is Michael Bauer, and you're listening to the Dynasty Hot Seat.
Yes, hello everybody and welcome back to the Dynasty Hot Seat, the only Dynasty show out there that is a certified inferno. And we've got a very welcome return guest. We got Michael Bauer, the Rewind CEO himself, back on the show. Mike, we're going to talk some 2024 rookies and we're going to do heads way too early, but we don't care. We're going to mock these guys, right?
Never too early.
Yeah, mate, it's great to see you again. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for having me back. It's good to see you as always as well. I'm good. The college season's wrapping up, which makes me sad. Yeah. I love college football, but we're going to get into that in a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been loving it. Like I was telling you sort of before we started recording, this is my first year of watching it, you know, all the action as it happens instead of sort of cramming in all the footage I can over like the new year.
You know, I just absolutely loved it. I guess for you though, games start typically at about 5 p.m. for you, for the early games here. What would be noon Eastern time for me is about 5 p.m. for you. Yeah. So that's actually like you could finish your have an early dinner, sit down, watch some games. I guess that's kind of nice for you, right?
Yeah, it's a much more reasonable time than, you know, like the late slate in the NFL, like where it's just nearly impossible to keep up with. Or like Monday Night Football, just what we talked about before, just can't watch it. So yeah, 5 p.m. is really good for me.
I could barely watch Monday Night Football. You know what I mean? By the time I get my kid to bed and I'm done. So it's hard when the Eagles play on Monday night, and it sucks because they've had so many primetime games this year. It's just not been as fun.
Yeah, and of course, congrats to your Eagles beating my Chiefs over last weekend as well.
I just saw that they just put Mecole Hardman on IR and Kadarius Toney is out.
Thank God. Oh, if Mecole Hardman could stay on IR and then be released again, that would be my absolute dream scenario. That guy is better use off the field.
How do you feel about Kadarius Toney as a Chiefs fan? You have to be frustrated, right? Because the talent is there.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. He doesn't have the space between the ears, right? He just doesn't have it there. Like, that's, yeah.
He's always hurt. He's always inconsistent. We were doing something. I was prepping for the show, and I was thinking about Chiefs wide receivers. I actually forgot he was on the team. That's how irrelevant I feel like he is.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Sky Moore and all these guys are just like.
Sky Moore was such a huge buy for me in the offseason. And I'm like, he's second year. And now I guess the only wide receiver, straight up wide receiver I'd want from that team is Rashee Rice. Obviously, the best receiver on the Chiefs is Travis Kelce, of course. But I don't really want any other receiver. I like Isaiah Pacheco. Everyone's saying that, by the way, that Isaiah Pacheco could be easily replaced this next year. He's done nothing to tell me that he could be replaced, unlike Damian Pierce, you know, who's been doing nothing but getting hurt. I know we're going off the rails a little bit here. But, you know, I like Pacheco. And if people are selling Pacheco, you know, if your league opens up before the draft next year and you could get him cheap because people are going to give him away, I would do it. Like, I wasn't able to sell him in a lot of leagues, and I'm glad about it because he's been a bona fide inferno. Well, he's like maybe not an inferno, but just like that nice little small fire that's enough.
A nice warm fire, like campfire, right?
He's not a Yule log, I could tell you that.
No, not quite. But I mean, part of the reason for like thinking, is he going to be replaced? No, you kind of have to know about this draft class, right, as well, Mike? And we're kind of going to, before we get into the draft, we're going to talk about any kind of certain trends. Something that I've been noticing is there's no real slam dunk running back one here, or any real, there's no like super stud at running back. So that might even play a part into, is Pacheco going to be replaced? Is there even a guy out there that could replace him, right?
And I think, you know what I think the biggest indicator of that's going to be? The NFL free agency. How are running backs getting paid? You know, maybe the Eagles keep a guy like DeAndre Swift, and they don't traditionally pay running backs very well or at all. Well, they did with DeMarco Murray, and look what happened there. But, you know, teams like that, do the Chiefs not look to move on from Isaiah Pacheco? And of course, there's always going to be openings, right, for teams that need a starting running back. But NFL free agency is going to tell you exactly what they think about the running back class. And you know what? You're right. There's a lot of good running backs that are coming out. There's no Bijan Robinson. There's no Jahmyr Gibbs. There's no Zach Charbonnet. Well, there might be a couple of Zach Charbonnets in this class. Also that, and I don't think the quarterback class might be as good as we thought it was going to be either. That being said, I think there's going to be some good quarterbacks, but I don't think it's going to be as good as we thought it was going to be initially. And also the wide receiver class is better than I thought it was going to be as well. Tight ends are always good. I always find the diamonds in there. I'm the tight end whisperer. But just a couple of things that stuck out to me too is how bad USC was, just losing all these close games. I didn't see that coming. I thought for sure we'd be thinking national championship contention, right? Mm-hmm. We thought. That's just one thing that really stuck out to me. Georgia, of course, is Georgia. And by the way, Joe Milton, I don't think is going to be a thing for talking about quarterbacks. Everyone likes Joe Milton because you can throw the ball 60 yards, but I think he's a six-year senior. He couldn't beat out Hendon Hooker, who was not that great, I didn't think. So, yeah, if somebody wants to draft that guy in the second round, let him have him.
Yeah, good old Bazooka Joe there. He's the ultimate thirst trap of this. Like, because what's going to happen is he's going to blow up the combine. We know that's going to happen, but he just can't throw the ball. That's his issue.
And then is Jalen Milroe from Alabama, is he draft eligible?
I'm not sure. He's been playing really well the last couple of weeks, though.
He has.
Been really impressed with him.
He's another guy. Let's see. He's a sophomore, technically. Mm. So why am I on Wikipedia looking it up? Why don't I go on College Football Reference? Sorry, this is not great.
There are a few guys I got like Milroe in there, and also guys like Breedy Cook, right, who could come out, but maybe would be better served waiting a year because there are some quarterbacks this year.
Well, so it looks like he redshirted, so he could technically come out. I think Jalen Milroe would be better to play another year or possibly two. I would love to see him just process a little bit better, and he's very athletic. We know that. We do know Quinn Ewers is coming back. Him and Arch Manning are both going back to Texas, which is very odd to me. I still think Quinn Ewers should transfer.
Yeah. Well, that's what happened before, right? Was he at Ohio? Was he at Ohio State? Where was Ewers before?
He was at Ohio State, which I thought was weird. He should have just went to Texas in the first place. I mean, Hudson Card was there, who was fine, but he wasn't that great. Hudson Card is another guy who I thought had kind of a stinker season. I thought he'd be good at Purdue.
Yeah.
Not so good. We got, you know, you're going to have guys like Sam Hartman from Notre Dame, who's going to be, I could see him like the third, fourth round pick. But look, we've seen guys that we didn't anticipate being starters. Josh Dobbs coming in, he could be a league winner for you. You have to pay attention to these guys because they end up mattering. Dorian Thompson-Robinson started a game for the Cleveland Browns and won. Might have been able to pluck him off waivers or your taxi squad to help you win a game. You got to pay attention to these guys. Draft capital matters, but it's not everything. Also, Jalen Milroe, 2,267 pass yards and 19 touchdowns, 6 interceptions, 332 rushing yards on the season. So not like a world beater here. You know what I mean?
So that game, Alabama versus LSU, that was a hell of a lot of fun to watch. Just two quarterbacks just running as much as they physically could. That was great.
I wonder if Jaden Daniels didn't get hurt, if that would have been a different story. He's a guy that's been having some stock up too. And look, he played at Arizona for 3 or 4 years, I think. And he transferred over to LSU and everyone thought that that was just kind of a BS thing. But, you know, for Brian Kelly coming in, restarting the LSU program, you have a veteran quarterback coming in. The fact of the matter is right now, sitting here as an Eagles fan, if the Eagles drafted him in the fourth round and they're like, he's Jalen Hurts' backup, I'm going to go deal. Give me all that. I do not want to see Marcus Mariota taking a snap for this team.
No.
But I think Jaden Daniels translates good to what the Eagles want to do if Jalen Hurts goes out. By the way, Nick Sirianni, 1-3 as a head coach without Jalen Hurts as a starting quarterback.
1-3. That's quite interesting.
That might not be 100% accurate, but I know that he does not have a winning record without Jalen Hurts. Now, to be fair, some of those games were in garbage time.
Yeah.
You know, when they already had whatever locked up or whatever. So, grain of salt.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, Daniels will be good. But you think if that guy wins the Heisman Trophy, which he's in line to do, right? He's not going to wait until the fourth round, right? Someone's got to take a chance at him, right?
Troy Smith won the Heisman Trophy. I think he was a fifth round draft pick. And I think that they tried to convert him to wide receiver. So I really think that the NFL is starting to go back to the way it should have been, such as this. We're not all about raw athleticism. You should already have some level of coaching to come in and at least be serviceable right off the rip if you're a first, second, third round pick. If you notice, teams don't seem to care about age anymore. If you're a little bit older, they want to get you through one contract anyway. If you play longer and you're good for them, great. If not, there's the next guy in line.
Yeah.
They don't care if you're a fourth or fifth year senior. They care about what you could do on the field. And I think they're starting to value production and how you go about preparing over just pure raw athleticism. And to be honest with you, that's the way it should be. I'll give you a prime example. Romeo Doubs should have been a higher draft pick than Christian Watson.
Yep.
Do I think that he's a better wide receiver? Do I think Christian Watson has a higher ceiling? I do. But the fact of the matter is, Romeo Doubs had a good body of work against better competition than Christian Watson did. He was not as raw. He was not as flashy, but he was solid. And you need guys like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like the Chiefs also don't have that surefire, solid guy. You know, we were talking about the Chiefs before him, and they just don't have that reliable guy. I thought it would be Sky Moore, just guy in the slot. Because it can't always be Kelsey.
No, and I never thought the Chiefs would actually miss Juju Smith-Schuster, but that's kind of what he was. He was kind of this solid guy that was just there. He didn't do a lot, but at least he didn't drop the ball.
And Juju, another disappointment this year.
Yeah, that whole team is a disaster.
But, you know, the rumblings are that Bill Belichick's going to retire, then come out of retirement to coach the Chargers. And
I heard Commanders.
I think if it's not Ron Rivera, it's Eric Bieniemy for the Commanders.
You'd think so, right?
And I know a lot of people were saying that it was stupid when Eric Bieniemy went to Washington, and I said, why? Andy Reid can coach the Kansas City Chiefs as long as he wants. There's I think as a Chiefs fans, you know that there's no questioning that. Eric Bieniemy, you go to a coach with a young quarterback and some good young weapons and a guy who's kind of been on the hot seat a little bit, pun intended. So he has more of a shot at getting a head coaching job there. And why doesn't Eric Bieniemy get an interview? This or that? Because they're hiring coaches sooner now. So he was kind of not benefiting from the Chiefs being so successful because you saw the Chiefs preparing for the AFC Championship game, preparing for the Super Bowl year in and year out. Coaches are already being hired. He's focusing on game planning, not for a new job. So that's what it was. Smart move on his part going to Washington. I like what he's doing. And by the way, I think Sam Howell could be a thing.
Leading the NFL in passing yards, right? Who saw that coming?
I believe so. Last I checked, he was the quarterback 3. That was at the end of last week. Obviously, this week's going to be skewed because we've only played 4 games so far. Not a fan of the Black Friday game, by the way. Let's not make that a...
No, that's not
a thing. Let's not make that an everyday thing. I don't need that.
BS. Yeah, I don't need that either. No, absolutely. Well, let's roll right into it, Mike, will we? We've got a one round. We got 12 players ready for your mock draft for these 2024 rookies. We're assuming all of these guys are going to come out. We're not 100% sure, but we're assuming these guys are all going to come out. And you're going to kick it off. No real shocks, but this is closer than it was, 3 months ago, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so if it's all right with you, Megs, I'm going to combine picks 1 and 2 because what we're going to hear, my first pick is Caleb Williams, and my second pick is Marvin Harrison Jr. Caleb Williams, quarterback from USC, Marvin Harrison Jr., wide receiver from Ohio State. Here's why. We heard last year a lot of people were like Bijan or Anthony Richardson, and they could have went either way. Honestly, I didn't see any drafts where Anthony Richardson went first. I'm sure it happened somewhere in a Superflex league. That's how I did this draft, by the way, based on a Superflex league. Mm-hmm. I should have said that when I texted to you. That's the typical league that I play in.
Same.
But I'm okay if, Mags, if you were the 101 and I was the 102 and you took Marvin Harrison Jr., I'd be like, dude, great pick.
Yeah.
And if I took Caleb Williams, I'm happy with that. Caleb Williams is great off script. Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, I love watching him play. I hate watching him play against Penn State. But just the things he could do, and a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, well, his dad was okay. No, his dad was fantastic.
Yeah.
But he's different than his dad. He's more physical. He's bigger. He's faster. Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be special, and I feel like he's a guy that's going to be quarterback-proof, by the way.
Yeah, he is quarterback. Look at his quarterback this year, right? He's kind of showing he's quarterback. You
know, it's weird seeing Ohio State not have a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
Kyle McCord's been okay. But him and Cade Klubnik, I kind of bunched together. I expected more out of them, especially playing for Ohio State and Cade Klubnik and Clemson. If those guys are both eligible to come back, they should.
Yeah, absolutely agree. They need to come back there. I don't think there's a starting quarterback in the NFL that is going to be worse than what he's got this year. So I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to get an upgraded quarterback, no matter where he ends up.
Hold on. Zach Wilson was a starting quarterback for a while.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. Hopefully Aaron Rodgers will be back by then. Zach Wilson, a free agent? Is he? No, he's not yet, right? He'll still be at the Jets.
Who, Rodgers?
Wilson. He'll still be at the Jets, but he's not a free agent just yet, right?
No, I think that was either a second or third year, but I think they're going to let him go.
Yeah.
You have to, right?
Yeah, you can't keep that guy around, I don't think. Yeah, absolutely not. So talk to me then about Caleb Williams, right? He's still your quarterback one, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, we'll be getting to my next quarterback in a second, but this, for me, it's the off-script stuff. And, you know, we've been talking, you've heard a lot about, in the pocket, this, that. Well, yeah, of course. He's still young. He's in his early 20s. And I understand what I said before about coaches want to have guys that come in and are ready to play. But if you're taking Caleb Williams very high, he's going to play from the get-go. We've seen quarterbacks come in early, have success. He's going to go somewhere where the weapons that he has now are better than what he has at USC. Mm-hmm. It's that easy. What if he gets drafted? Let's see. Where would a good spot for him be? I mean, he's not going to get drafted by the Jets because they have Aaron Rodgers. We could take that out. The Giants, if he goes to the Giants. Okay, you know what? If he goes to the Giants, he might not have better weapons than he was at USC. I'm going to have to eat some crow in that one. But still, if he goes almost anywhere, he'll right off the rip have better weapons. How about Atlanta? What if he went to Atlanta?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
That would be a sexy destination.
There's a small chance, right, that he ends up like Chicago. There's still a small chance Chicago end up with the one and the two pick, right? Could be Caleb and Marvin Harrison going together to Chicago. That'd be quite cool.
So I heard like somebody put this scenario together. I kind of don't hate it, where the Bears would trade Justin Fields to Atlanta.
Yep.
And would draft Caleb Williams. And I don't hate that. Justin Fields gets a fresh start. Caleb Williams gets to come in and do his thing.
Yep.
Honestly, I think that would be an ideal scenario if you're a Bears fan, if you're a Falcons fan, because Desmond Ridder ain't it. I think Desmond Ritter's a career backup, and that's fine. You're going to get a paycheck. You're going to carry the board. You're going to get tenured. You're going to get a pension. Good for you, Desmond Ridder. But he's not a starting quarterback.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah, I think that will work out pretty well for everybody. And no matter how well Justin Fields plays, I think they got to take Caleb Williams, right? You got it.
They should.
Yeah, absolutely agree. So that's Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. then locked in as your sort of co-1-1, right? And then...
Yeah, 1A, 1B, however you want to look at it. Like I said, if you take either of these guys first or second, I'm not going to beat you up for it. I think you're really not wasting a pick, for sure. No,
absolutely agreed. And then... moving into then the third pick, who have you got there at 103?
So this is Drake May, quarterback from the University of North Carolina. And guys, I hate to tell you this, but Drake May is really good. And he's also extremely mobile too. Drake May, good arm. And his stats are down this year, but he also was missing his number one wideout, Tez Walker, for a lot of the season because I'll let you guys look up why. Tez Walker couldn't play. It was BS. I'm not going to get into it here.
Yeah.
But still, 3,300 yards, 22 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So for his career, 3-year career, and by the way, he's only really started 2 years. He had 89 passing yards and 1 touchdown in his freshman year behind Sam Howell. 7,764 yards, 61 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. Oh, and by the way, he has over 1,000 rushing yards in that time too.
Yeah.
Drake May can move.
Yeah, he's like a prototype, right?
He's 6'5", 220. They're comping him to Justin Herbert. And he, not just because he kind of looks like Justin Herbert, which actually looking at this picture, he does. It's kind of uncanny. but he's your prototypical big guy. Yeah. But not like the big quarterback of days past that was a little statuesque. He can move. He's extremely accurate. I like what I see. Another guy that could come back, but I don't think he will. I think he should come out.
I think now's the time. His stock's not going to be much higher, right? He's going to go top 5, you would assume, right?
I mean, you know, honestly, if you're Drake May, you might want to see what Caleb Williams does, because if he comes back another year, you know, and he could always fall down boards too. There's going to be guys like Bo Nix that are going to rise up, Michael Penix Jr. You never know. I think if Drake May was a 25 quarterback, he's the number one quarterback from now until the 25 draft. Personally, there's other guys in that class that I like. I don't think it's Quinn Ewers. I like Drew Aller, but they need some weapons for him at Penn State. He would be my number one quarterback right now in 2025 easily. I mean, he's number two right now, but there's a gap between that one and two in this quarterback class.
Although he has closed that gap, I would say.
I mean, there are some games where he didn't look that great, but North Carolina hasn't really done him too many favors. And the whole Tez Walker thing was a fiasco, which check out Tez Walker. You might have to look up his full name. I forget what it is. I think it's Devontez.
Devontez Walker.
Yeah. But this dude can fly.
He's good.
He's really good. I like him a lot.
Yeah. He's got another nice weapon there. Is it McMillan as well there? That's quite a nice weapon.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. I have not been following North Carolina aside from Drake May very much, admittedly.
Yeah, he's like real nice, and just, I think he's someone that can come in and just looks like he's got a good head, the shoulders, and could be a good guy with some nice upside, and Superflex is kind of all you're looking for. And
for sure.
Into 1-4, this is maybe, I think, this is what I think is the most interesting debate of this class. It is, who's wide receiver 2? Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of guys that it could be, right? You've got, you know, 3-4 maybe even guys that could be listed as your wide receiver 2. So who have you got currently as your wide receiver 2 at 105 in this draft?
I do want to preface this by saying it's close. These guys are great. I like them all. But for me, it's LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers. Dude, throw in some LSU games. Check out Malik Nabers. Just there's something about his body motion and how smooth he is. You know, you see some wide receivers, like for me in the pre-draft process, I thought DK Metcalf and Drake London, guys like that, were a little clunky.
Yeah.
Malik Nabers is just so smooth and natural coming back to the ball, physical, and just those hands, just everything that's thrown to him that's obviously on target, he gets. I love his game. If Marvin Harrison Jr. wasn't around, he'd be my wide receiver 1. Now, of course, it's November. A lot can change between now and draft day. We know that. But still, I love Malik Nabers, man. Just watching him play, he's special. Special.
Yeah, he seems like someone that could just unlock teams, right? And it's kind of the that big playability, that yards after the catch that NFL teams are just like crying out for a little bit, right? There's not...
Yeah.
There's not a huge amount of that going on right now for whatever reason. I think he could be someone that comes in and hits the ground running really, really fast. Like, we've sort of seen young wide receivers do that more now than ever before. I think Nabers will fit that mold as well.
I mean, look at guys like Jordan Addison.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously he's having a good season because he has to. Yeah. But KJ Osborne's still there. There's other vets on that team that they could have just kind of put it ahead of him, and they didn't. They let it rip with Jordan Addison, and he's been really productive. So, yeah, Garrett Wilson was a guy who started right away. You know, Devonta Smith was the team's wide receiver 1 when he was drafted because they didn't have A.J. Brown yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I love Malik Nabers, and I think he's another guy that wherever he goes, he's going to be starter from day 1.
Dream landing spot for Malik Nabers. You got anything in mind?
Anywhere but New England, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I think would be a really good landing spot? Carolina. They could be good. Put in with Jonathan Mingo, another good weapon for Bryce Young. He needs better weapons. And Adam Thielen has kind of been an anomaly this year. But he's a top 10 wide receiver. I think he was wide receiver 7 or 8 last I checked. It's been a while since I checked.
How about that?
But good for you at 33, Adam Thielen. Seriously, everyone thought that his career was dead, and he's been healthy. He's been out there productive. I'd love to see him in Carolina. Atlanta would be another good spot. They need another good weapon outside of Drake London.
Yeah.
Places like that, I think, would be fantastic. Maybe even the Rams, if Cooper Kupp's getting older too. You know, he's getting older, getting banged up more and more.
Yeah.
Arizona, they have Hollywood Brown, and they had, you know, I think I did a look before they drafted Michael Wilson last year. All of their wide receivers were 5'9" and under.
just to like fit him with Kyler, right?
Yeah. It's uncanny. But there's, you know, Malik Nabers is a guy who could bump a vet out of a job too.
Yeah.
I think, you know, all of a sudden, like, oh, okay, well, he has these vets in front of him, and then the vet gets traded in training camp because Neighbors look so good. He's that good where I think he could bump a vet out of a job. It's, we've seen it before.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you're right. He's going to be fine anywhere but New England, please. Like, let's not have that happen.
Don't do that to me, New England.
Yeah, that can't. So he's your wide receiver too, but I mean, no debate here about tight end one, right? This is the easiest thing of the whole draft, I think, to rank this, right?
If you know me and you follow me, you know I love tight ends. They matter, but Brock Bowers, no relation. He's going off at the 105. Do I think that's too early? Some people are going to say yes. They might even say on this video. But the fact of the matter is we're looking at the next unicorn tight end like Kyle Pitts. And you know what the good thing about guys like this is? I'll tell you what it is. You can always cash in on the hype. If you figure in a year or two, hey, this ain't working out, I'm going to go get someone steadier, you're going to cash in and you're going to be doing just fine when you sell them. Same if you sold Kyle Pitts before last offseason, during the season now, you're cashing in because of the what could be. But I do think Brock Bowers is a guy that's going to be used. A lot of people are predicting him to be used kind of like a Chris Cooley was. I know I'm aging myself here. Play a little tight end, play a little fullback, a little H-back, whatever. They're going to move him around. He can block. He's athletic. He catches everything.
Yes.
I love Brock Bowers. If he would have came out last year, he would have been the tight end one.
Agreed.
But was he eligible to come out last year? I don't know. Is he a junior or senior? I should know that off the top of my head.
I'm not sure, really. He's arguably, you know, dynasty tight end one already, right? Even before he's come out, he's that good, he's that talented, right?
No, he was not eligible to come out. No, I mean, Travis Kelce's tight end one until he's not.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, he's gonna be a top 10 tight end when he gets drafted, that much I could say, because you know, people are like, oh, the tight end position sucks. It doesn't. You just, whenever I tell people that, you need to scout better, you need to put your team together better, and I don't want to sound arrogant when I say that, you got Travis Kelce, you got Mark Andrews, Sam Laporta, by the way, fantastic, was tight end one for a small time this season. You got guys like TJ Hockenson, Dallas Goedert. He's been banged up the last couple of years. We see what he does when he's on the field. Pat Freiermuth went healthy. Greg Dulcich, I'm starting to lose a little bit of patience.
Mike, I'm gonna have to stop him at you. What you're leaving out, my guy.
Trey McBride?
Dalton Kincaid. Why are we not talking about
Dalton Kincaid? So I do think Brock Bowers could be a top 10 tight end. Of course, Kyle Pitts, I left off that list. But I don't think tight end one and not tight end five. It's too soon for that. But you should be excited. There's going to be a lot of good tight ends coming out in this next class, by the way. Benjamin Urosek from Stanford is not going to be on this list. He's been injured all year. Stanford is a train wreck. But watch some Benjamin Urosek. He catches everything. The Stanford offense is just so bad. They're embarrassing to watch. I might get myself a little Stanford tree and put it back here. Should I do that? Buy for myself for Christmas, throw it back there. I'll put it in front of the picture of my family. There's going to be good tight ends out there. And I love taking chances on tight ends in like the fourth, fifth round of my rookie draft and just stashing them.
Yeah.
Stash them on my taxi squad, especially if I'm in a two tight end league. Like I have a ton of Will Mallory. Because I think in a year or two, he's going to be a thing for Indianapolis. Guys like that. I like to stash tight ends.
Yeah, I obviously love Buck, but I like me. I don't know if he's eligible this year, but I've been loving, I'm going to butcher his first name here, but Shatavion Sanders out of Texas, the tight end.
Hold on a second. We looked, I don't have my, I can't remember if he was the tight end that I looked at or not from Texas. There is a dude from Texas that I looked at.
Mm.
I can't remember who it was. I know this is making for great radio right now.
big physical guy, great yards after the catch.
Have you ever looked at a website called Our Lads, by the way?
Our Lads? I don't think so, no.
OURLADS.com. Mm. That is where I go for all my depth chart stuff.
Okay.
So Texas is still in the Big 12 until the end of the year, and then the Big 12 will be a shell of itself. Mm-hmm. So let's look at tight ends here. Jatavion Sanders, you're right. He is a junior. That was the guy I looked at. So Jatavion Sanders, you look at a guy like that, and you're like, how does this man get so wide open? I know exactly who you're talking about. He's big. He's physically catches everything. Great blocker, too. I know blocking doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but it keeps you on the field. It gives you more chances. I like him a lot. There's another guy too. Two guys that I think are both eligible to come out. Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell from Texas. Well,
Worthy, good.
RIP to Jonathan Brooks, by the way, tearing his ACL, which absolutely. I was so upset. Jonathan Brooks was a guy, he would have been close to being on this list.
Yeah.
Had he not torn his ACL.
He was the guy that, like, him and Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina as well are two guys who was like, I was surprised not to have heard or seen more of because they've been really impressed with me this year.
Yeah. Well, you know, the problem is this time of year, you pretty much hear the chalk talk. You know what I mean? Just the guys that we know, because it's hard to project to where these guys who aren't on, you know, the cusp of we know they're going to be great in the NFL. It's hard to predict if they're going to come back or not. So it's just one of those things.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Brock Bowers seems to be a sure bet to come all the way back around. And now you got your wide receiver three, a guy that I just think he's going to, he looks ready for the NFL already. He seems to have the stereotypical build, right? Who you got at 106?
And he plays special teams. He's a punt returner and kick returner. I think does he return kicks? He returns punts.
Yeah.
Although he doesn't do it as much, but he can do it. That is Rome Odunze from the University of Washington, 6'3", 200, Mags. Who wouldn't want a 6'3", 200 guy that catches everything, really crisp route runner, physical. Yeah. You know, sometimes you need those big maulers on the outside. They block. That matters because, it doesn't matter. Well, I try to look at things differently from other people. Why does every nuance of what a player's game matter to your fantasy team? Because coaches in the NFL don't care if you're the best at your position in high school and college. If you can't do the little things that keep you on the field, they're not going to put you on the field. Again, everyone, I preach this. The NFL does not care about your fantasy team. You have to stop trying to do square peg round hole. We have to stop trying to manifest. Oh, I hate that word, but my wife uses it. She's a counselor. We have to stop manifesting things that happen in the NFL. You have to adapt your fantasy game to the NFL game. Rome Odunze is a guy who's fantasy and NFL proof. He does everything right. I just love his game. Oh, and he's pretty damn fast too, which is important.
Yeah, I'm just so impressed by the amount of space that he gets for someone that's so big, but he's got that speed and that physicality. And it's just like whenever Washington get in the red zone, you're almost just laughing. You're like, good luck. Like, you know, good luck defending this.
Mags, I feel bad for you. You don't get to watch a lot of Washington because they're all the way over there, but dude, they're a fun team to watch this year. Right now, they would be in the playoffs. If they get into the playoffs, that's my team. That's the team I'm cheering for to win it all. I don't want another Alabama Georgia rematch. I don't give a shit. I want Washington to be national championships because I know Penn State's not going to win it, unfortunately, with that one loss to Ohio State. But yeah, that's who I want to win it. And I know things could change. I don't know. Are they playing right now? It's almost 3 p.m. here on a Saturday, so I'm assuming that Washington will be playing later. And Michigan and Ohio State are tied up.
Are they all tied up at the minute? Oh, right, there we go. 17. Yeah, I think they've got it. Them and Oregon are going to have to play, right, to see who advances eventually, right? That'll happen.
I wonder, are they playing this week or did they already play this year?
Hold on. Oregon played Oregon State, maybe? I know all the rivalries are playing, right?
So yeah, it's rivalry week.
Yeah.
So it should be Oregon State.
I think it might have already happened even, actually. I might have last night.
Yeah, see, all these games on like Thursday and Friday are killing me. Let's see here.
Yeah.
Oregon crushed Oregon State 31-7.
Yeah,
man. That's been a thing that's been.
Yeah.
Just, but when does Washington play? With the American Thanksgiving and all that stuff going on, I've been busy with family and just going out and all that stuff. I haven't been. Let's see who. Alabama Auburn Iron Bowl in about 45 minutes. That's going to be
a good. That's good. Yeah, that should be another Washington winning because they got Odunze and they've got, of course, the next guy on your list at 107. It's his quarterback, right? Your namesake, right? Michael Penix.
Michael Penix Jr. I hate that he's a lefty, but I love what he's done. He, you know, him transferring from Indiana when he was always hurt to Washington and just what he's put together. He's very accurate, stands tall in the pocket, delivers the ball well, just very poised.
Yeah.
Now, a lot can happen between now and the draft. This is one of the guys that I'm going to warn you about where NFL teams might have an issue with his injury past. just like what happened with Hendon Hooker, you know, obviously tearing his ACL late, ended up being a third round pick. The difference is, I think if Michael Penix Jr. is a third round pick, he has more chance to play than a guy like Hendon Hooker does. By the way, the Detroit Lions love Jared Goff. I think he gets an extension. He's good for them. And by the way, good for the Detroit Lions being as good as they are so far this season. Put up a clunker on Thanksgiving, though. Ruined my day. Penix is good. I think he's going to be fine. Some other guys that I considered here was like J.J. McCarthy. I like Michael Penix better than J.J. McCarthy, to be honest with you. And I have another quarterback coming up soon. J.J. McCarthy does not make my list, by the way. There's just some other guys that edged him out, but we'll get to that.
Yeah, McCarthy's a hard one, right? Because his offensive line is so good. You're wondering how much of that is down to them and how much of that is down to like how good he is. He's kind of someone that he's an interesting guy, but he's kind of, I wouldn't be shocked if he starts rising up the ranks as well whenever he does. Like, he seems like a guy that would like interview well, right? Just hear him speak.
I mean, Penix is a 6-year senior, so
he's old, right?
Well, if you consider 24 old, then yeah, I guess he's old.
Old for a college guy, right?
I'll take 24. You want to talk about old? Cam Rising for Utah is coming back for his 7th season.
Wow.
Yeah, so he actually started, because we were talking about this on our Patreon the other night. Cam Rising started, I think he was a freshman at Texas in 2018.
Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just weird, but you know, that's what I like about NIL. That's what I like about this transfer portal now, because guys like Michael Penix Jr., Cam Rising might have never had an opportunity. And there's another guy coming up. We'll get to him. He's my number 9. Let's get to my number 8, and then we'll talk about some more quarterbacks. How's that sound?
Let's do it. Here comes the
end. Ohio State wide death taxes and Ohio State putting damn good wide receivers in the NFL. That's what they do. In case you need a refresher, Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, Michael Thomas. These are all Ohio State wide receivers. Michael Thomas, not as much, but he's back. He's been a little more productive
than
the last couple of years. But Emeka Egbuka, I think I said it right. Another guy, he's like Marvin Harrison Light, not as physical, not as fast, still a fantastic wide receiver. And if you're getting him at the 108, that's a great consolation prize. Kind of like where Chris Olave was going, that range. When him and Garrett Wilson were coming out, Garrett Wilson drafted highly, Chris Olave down a little bit more. And, you know, we haven't seen it yet from Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, but we're talking about the Jets haven't been good. The Saints just have been really inconsistent since these guys have been on their teams respectively. Emeka Egbuka, to me, is a guy that gets drafted to a team that doesn't need a number one wide receiver, and that's where he flourishes. If he's like a Devonta Smith, if he's a T. Higgins on your fantasy team, you're going to be okay with that at the 108.
Maybe even. Could he be T. Higgins' replacement even, right?
You know, with how much they paid Burrow and with Ja'Marr Chase there, I mean, I don't know. There's a possibility. Charlie Jones is waiting in the wings. I think he's more of a Tyler Boyd replacement than the T. Higgins replacement. But I know they said that T. Higgins was not going to be re-signed, which is a bummer because I like T. Higgins a lot. I think it's stupid on their behalf. You know, make the guy an offer at least. See what you got. But T. Higgins is going to go. He's a major buy for me right now in Dynasty.
Agreed.
I think wherever he goes, unless it's a place that has someone like Justin Jefferson, he's the team's number one wide receiver. I mean, if he went to Philadelphia, he would not be. What if, as a Chiefs fan, you're like, oh, the Chiefs just signed T. Higgins. How happy are you?
Delighted.
Right.
Like, over the moon, I think.
Actually, I like that spot for T. Higgins.
I love it, yeah. I would be very happy. Plus, we get to steal a player off the Bengals, which makes me extra happy. So.
And he gives Mahomes what they don't have at wide receiver. A big body guy who could just do everything well. Maybe not the fastest guy. But he'd be a good guy to help Rashee Rice come along too.
Yeah, him and Rashee Rice, that's a really nice like 1-2 punch, I think.
I would like that a lot because, I mean, as a football fan, I hate watching Patrick Mahomes throw Justin Watson. It's like, all right, we get you like the guy, you're friends with him, whatever, but he sucks.
It hurts, right? Or like MBS is dropping passes. So you maybe didn't hate watching that, but man, that was a sore one.
When he dropped it, I was like, we just got really lucky.
Yeah.
I mean, the only benefit is there was still a minute 48 left on the clock, so the Eagles would have still had time to do something. True. But the fact that they didn't have to made it a little bit better for me.
Yeah, sure. That was really interesting you brought up Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave, because it's a very similar thing, right? Marvin Harrison Jr. is going to be the Garrett Wilson, and people might be sleeping on Igbuka because, like, that's what happened with Chris Olave, right?
Let him sleep.
I agree. So you kind of teased this. You got another quarterback coming up here. Could be a couple of guys, but who have you got at 109? This is a guy, actually, Mike, I don't know if you remember. We talked about this guy the last time we were on here.
Don't remember, because I don't remember what I had for lunch. That's right, I didn't have lunch. I've been busy. That's Bo Nix, Oregon quarterback, by way of Auburn. He was not good at Auburn. I think that we could say that. And he's been really good at Oregon. And coming back for a fifth year, I think, helped him even more. It just shows that year, his 2022 season, was not a flash in the pan. And this year, he already has 400 more passing yards. He has 8 more touchdowns. Oh, and by the way, he has 5 less interceptions. He's taking care of the ball. He's getting the ball where it needs to be. And his teammate, who I'll be talking about next, Troy Franklin, is the benefactor of that. We'll get to Troy Franklin in a minute. This is why I love the NIL. This is why I love the ability that these players have to transfer, because Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr. might not have had NFL careers. We might have been talking about UDFAs or just career backups. Now these guys, because they were able to go somewhere else and show that they can flourish, hey, situations matter. Maybe they have NFL careers ahead of them. Maybe they're a team starter. Maybe they win a Super Bowl. Maybe even more importantly, they help you win a fantasy championship. Yes. I like Bo Nix, and I think at the 109, that's a pretty safe place to take a quarterback like this who could be handed the keys of the franchise. Now, there's not a ton of places that need a quarterback, unfortunately. But you could be looking at maybe New England needs a quarterback. Tampa Bay. Maybe the Seahawks don't like what they saw from Geno Smith. Maybe the Rams look to move on from Matthew Stafford. So there's always things that could happen. Of course, you know, the Texans have a quarterback for once. The Jaguars have a quarterback. Maybe the Titans don't like what Will Levis is bringing to the table, although I do think they do. I think Will Levis is another major buy for me right now. People just love to hate Will Levis for whatever reason.
Because he puts mayo in his coffee and he eats like weird bananas, right? That's
you know what? If that makes people think you're weird, that's fine with me.
You a but, big mayo and coffee guy, Mike?
No. Not every American is completely batshit insane, I promise you. That's only like 75% of us.
Yeah.
The rest of us are normal. But look, Bo Nix, and we could be talking about him rising up draft boards too. Yeah. You always see it. Superflex drafts are super heavy with quarterbacks at the top end. So you're going to have to pay attention to guys like Aiden O'Connell, you know, who's now a starting quarterback, guys like that in the back end, tight ends, quarterbacks. I love to throw late round picks on and stash them on my taxi. I don't think Bo Nix is going to be there. He's going to be a first, maybe at the latest, second round draft pick.
Yeah, I would say you're spot on. And yeah, I remember last year we spoke about Bo Nix. You talked about how he was terrible at Auburn. He's done really well at Oregon. Then he said, I think he should stay another year and really cement himself. And wise words from Michael Bauer
there. Here we are. More school is better. Get that degree too, young man.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, get a degree. Why wouldn't you?
Absolutely. And he kind of teased him there at 110, his teammate, right, coming off the board, the wide receiver one over there at Oregon. He got Troy Franklin.
Another big dude, 6'2", 170, kind of skinny. But, hey, these guys are going to get into an NFL weightlifting program. He's going to bulk up. That's what he's to. He has plenty of frame to put on. Troy Franklin, another guy who kind of reminds me of Malik Nabers. I don't think he's as fast. His routes aren't as crisp, but another guy who just catches everything. He's another very smooth, natural wide receiver.
Yeah.
I love watching the Oregon offense. With Bo Nix, with Troy Franklin, with Bucky Irving, who's another guy who I think his stock's going to come up a little bit.
Yep.
But yeah, Troy Franklin, another guy I like. It was between him or Keon Coleman. Keon Coleman actually didn't make my list. I like Troy Franklin better than Keon Coleman. I think Keon Coleman's game is a little more limited than Troy Franklin's is.
Yeah, I think Troy Franklin there is really, really good. The other receiver there is Tez Johnson, right? He's another pretty good receiver there at Oregon, too. I think he's.
I don't know if he's eligible or not.
I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure. But Troy Franklin is the outstanding receiver in that room. And you mentioned the word smooth there. That's just what I see whenever I watch him. He's just so like velvety. You don't realize he's so big almost until he like jumps to get the ball. You're like, oh, wow. He's like towering over this cornerback here.
I know. It's crazy like how big some of these guys are. It's like men this size shouldn't be that fast and that strong. And yet here, that, well, maybe strong, yeah, but not that fast. It's just insanity. Insanity.
It's like the opposite of last year's class where we had all these little guys. Now we've got these giants.
And we had a couple bigger wide receivers, like, you know, you had Rashee Rice, Jonathan Mingo, but they're not as fast as
Quentin Johnson. I mean,
dude, Quentin Johnson. I'm
that guy sucks.
I'm like, and you know, and the problem too is the fantasy community, they try to like peg these guys right away, like he's the Mike Williams replacement, just like they did with Treylon Burks, he's the AJ Brown replacement. Yeah. Don't put that on these guys. Let them go out there. Let them learn their craft to play the game. But by the way, Quentin Johnson, when it hits you in the hands, you have to catch it. And yeah. Treylon Burks just has to get on the field.
Yeah, I had like concerns about Johnson in his hands, but I said, it was like, well, Justin Herbert's good enough that he'll throw him passes that he can't drop. And turns out that didn't work either.
Mags, I was on a, you know, you gave me an inspiration for a team named Boggin, remember? Yeah, because that was a word that I learned from you.
Yeah, Boggin.
In that league, I was forced to take Quentin Johnston at the 109. I was on the clock for 24 hours trying to sell that pick because I did not draft Quentin Johnston. And it's just nobody wanted him. And I'm like, well, here we go. So then, you know, this past week, I had to make a decision. I had bye weeks and injuries. Do I start Quentin Johnston or do I start Jaden Reed? I started Jaden Reed. Nice. And I'm so glad I did.
Yeah.
So glad I did.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Johnson, there might be some hype in the offseason about Johnson, like he's training well or whatever. I think that's the time you smash sell if you have him, right?
I'm going to hold because I don't want to give up right away. I try to give some guys some time because, you know, you're a rookie. You're still a young man. You're still coming in. And it's a huge adjustment to just go from TCU to Los Angeles. I want to give these guys some time, but at the same point in time, too, I need points. Not on my bench, not on my taxi squad, in my starting lineup.
Yeah. Absolutely. And we've got all the way now. We've got all the way down to 110. We haven't seen a running back yet, but we're about to end the draft on two in a row, right?
Yep.
At 111, you got the guy that most people have as the running back one right now, right?
I don't know who else would be.
Yeah.
It's not Braylon Allen. I think he's very limited.
Yeah.
And I like Bucky Irving. I can't remember the kid, Trey Benson, I think, from Florida State. I like him a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think there's some guys that I like, but it's Travion Henderson from Ohio State. He was banged up. His teammate, Mayan Williams, is going to be another guy, too, where, you know, you had that Bijan Roshan connection. Yeah, I'm not saying that these guys are the same thing, but you're going to have two players on the same team that are going to get drafted. I think Mayan Williams gets like third or fourth on draft capital, and he's a thing. Yeah. We've seen, I think this, what we're seeing right now, two running backs go at the end of the first round, is going to be the new norm for fantasy football. Unless you get your generational Bijan Robinson, your Saquon Barkley, Jahmyr Gibbs. I don't want to say he's generational yet. I like what he brings to the table. But I just think that the game has changed and evolved so much where I personally don't know if I want to build my team around running backs any longer. I think what I want is one really good running back, and then the rest is just like zero RB. Just cycle guys in and out every year, waiver wire, whatever I got to do, late round guys. That's why I love having late round picks. I love taking flyers on guys. But Travion Henderson, he's physical, he's fast, he's shifty, he's everything you want a running back. I think he's about as close as you're going to get to a generational running back in this class. It was supposed to be a good running back class, and it just really tapered off. And it's just, I think that's how the position's going to be for a while.
Agreed. There's a lot of running backs. There's a lot of pretty good running backs. You know, like you mentioned, Brooks out of Texas, he was one of my favorite guys. And Marion Hampton as well, I really like. But I don't like any of them the most. They're kind of all there. I imagine I'll come out of a lot of drafts with, like, this guy. I'll take different guys in a lot of different leagues because at the moment, I'm not really sure who's going to stand head and shoulders out. But Henderson, especially in the last month or so, he's been playing really, really well. So he's starting to push out.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's an Ohio State running back, just like Ezekiel Elliott was. He's going to get buzzed because that's what Ohio State does. They put out good products for the NFL.
Yeah.
So you're going to hear a lot about him, but check out his game film. He's really good too. He's not a slouch. He's not just getting by on the helmet. You'll like what you see.
Yeah. And your next guy, this is a guy I thought was going to be one of my sleepers, Mike. You got him at the back end.
Not if I have anything to do about it. A reason to watch the middle of the country, Devin Neal, running back from Kansas. I think between now and April, he's going to be a massive riser. Yeah. Now, this is the only guy that I think on this entire list, short of Drake May, although I think Drake May declares, might possibly come back.
Okay.
And if he does, it's because he wants to solidify his draft capital and be the de facto 101 running back next year. 1,090 yards in 2022, 1,103 yards this year, 30 touchdowns in 3 years. By the way, he catches the ball too in three seasons. And of course, this is an updated Kansas still has to play. 52 catches, 454 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Yeah. Unless you're in a run and shoot offense, they don't throw to running backs a ton in college. They really don't. But he could do it. He's really, really well balanced. The way he hits the hole, good vision, good patience. He's physical. I mean, he's 5'11", 208. I like this guy a lot. And you know what? I mean, there might be certain circumstances where if you could get him in the second round, I will take him over Travion Henderson. Ooh. If I can get the value there. And, you know, like let's say his ADP falls and he's like the 206, right?
Yeah.
If I really want a running back, if I could trade out of the 111 and pick up some extra capital and get the guy that I like better, I would do that. You know what I mean? Get the guy you want, get some extra capital on top of it. There's no harm. There's no shame getting extra value.
Yeah, absolutely. Him and Red Davis from Kentucky were two guys I was like, I really like these two.
So you need to check out, and Mags, we're let's see, Ray Davis. Because he changed his name.
Ooh.
I think it's Ramon Davis now. Would you say that your listener base is more European?
I think when I've dived into it, most of the listeners appear to be from the States, actually.
Really? Well, look at us go. But if you don't know about Ray Davis, and I'm clicking on his ESPN page, so hopefully a video doesn't pop up, which it likes to do, and it did. Spent 2 years at Temple, 2 years at Vanderbilt, and then a year at Kentucky. But I mean, look at Ray Davis. You do not want to tackle this guy. 5'10", 216 pounds. He has no neck. He's just really thick. He's really solid. 1,042 yards at Vandy his last season. He had 936 yards at Temple as a freshman and 8 touchdowns. He averaged 4.8 yards a carry as a freshman. And then this year he's already at 990, 5.8 yards per carry and 12 touchdowns. So, yeah, Ray Davis can play football.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So those are some guys that, you know, we all like. And I think that's a really solid first round. A lot of those guys on there, I'm like, yep, absolutely smash it. Completely agree with that. And I love that you got my guy Devin Neal in there as well. That is absolutely fantastic.
I really like Devin Neal, and I know you wanted to be a sleeper, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I don't think the buzz is going to really be from the fantasy community. I think it's going to be from the NFL community. There's just something about this dude. He does everything well. And we're also seeing now, too, that day three draft capital for running backs is not a death sentence anymore. Isaiah Pacheco is a starting running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's a seventh round draft pick. The Jets released Michael Carter to give Israel Abanaconda more run. He was a fourth round draft pick. So I think now with running backs, ability and landing spot matter more than draft capital.
Yeah. Landing spot is huge, like massive for them, right? Just like, are they even just going to get a chance? That's the reason why, like, I own a ton of Dwayne McBride just because he's sitting on my taxi squads just because he had an opportunity. He hasn't got it, but.
Which actually, to be honest with you, surprises me that he hasn't. Yeah. It's just, and I think it's because the Vikings are winning. Yeah. If they weren't, Dwayne McBride would probably get more of a chance. And I know that a lot of the whole thing too with Dwayne McBride was, well, he doesn't catch the football. That is because the University of Alabama, they have a running back named Jermaine Brown Jr., who I have dubbed as Devon Achane Light. Go check him out. He was the guy that last year got all the receiving work and Dwayne McBride didn't. He's a really good guy that does. He's great between the tackles, great as a running. He's really good as a receiver too. Go check him out. Seriously, Jermaine Brown Jr., I like him a lot. And I think he's going to be a guy that's going to be a huge target for me in later parts of my drafts.
Jermaine Brown Jr., I'll go check him out for sure. I'm like that.
He's a smaller guy. I think he's like 5'8", 5'9", maybe not even over 200 pounds, but really shifty, great in the open field too.
Absolutely love it. And I was going to say, Mike, that that wraps us up. That is absolutely amazing. We've gone through one round here. We even threw in some sleepers for you as well, like Jermaine Brown Jr. at the end there. So just want to say thank you. Thank you so, so much once again for coming on to the Hot Side 4. We can't decide if it's the third or the fourth time. Maybe it's at least the third, though, right?
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Let's go with three.
It's the third and a half. How's that sound?
Yeah, 3.5. You're 3.5 in the hot season. Thanks so much for coming on. And thank you, everybody, for listening as well. If you haven't already, hitting that thumbs up and that subscribe button and, you know, all that good stuff that goes along with that. Absolutely brilliant. Mike, do you just want to tell people, where can they catch you online if they want to hear from more of you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at, or X, whatever it's called now, at Rewind CEO. The Dynasty Rewind is available everywhere podcasts can be had. So come check us out. A couple episodes a week for you guys. Try to keep them shorter. The way we try to do it is we try to make it be the amount of time that the average commute to work is. So 20 to 30 minutes, get an episode in, you're good to go.
Nice. And you can listen to the first half of this on your way and the second half on the way back to work. How about that? We call about 55. Absolutely perfect. So thanks so much again, Mike, for joining, and as well for everybody for listening. Remember, for anything Dynasty you need to know, keep it locked on the Certified Inferno. I'll see you next time.